The Holy Gospel, according to St. John from the 10th chapter, glory to you, O Lord. Our Gospel this morning does indeed come from St. John, the 10th chapter, verses 11 through 18, and can be found on page 1666 in your pew Bible. John records, "I am the Good Shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and he runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and he cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." This is the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In the name of Jesus. So when Jesus uses word pictures like parables or metaphors or other figures of speech, he often represents God as someone who is eccentric. That is to say, departing from normal, someone that does strange things. For example, in the parable of the sower throws seed everywhere, not just on the good soil. In the parable of the unforgiving servant, the king forgives a debt of 10,000 talents, which is an unimaginable amount of money. In the parable of the vineyard, the owner pays everyone the same wage, regardless of when or how long they worked. In the parable of the wicked tenants, the landowner, that is God, sent his own son to collect the rent from the tenants who had already killed his servants. And these are just a few of the eccentric characters who represent God in Jesus' parables. Today, we heard Jesus describe himself as the Good Shepherd. We are so very used to hearing about Jesus as the Good Shepherd that we don't really or truly examine the Good Shepherd, Jesus, that one that he said about himself or that he talked about to us. When we listen more closely, we discover that the Good Shepherd, Jesus, is a very eccentric, a very strange, a very departing from normal shepherd. Now, Greek has more than one word that translates as good, in English. One word is agathos. Agathos. It means competent or professional, skilled, and so forth. The other word is kalos, kagathos. This word means gentlemanly, gentlemanly. It means noble. It means heroic. It means excellent, and so forth. So when Jesus refers to himself as the good shepherd, he means that he is the excellent, the noble, the heroic shepherd. He is not merely competent or professional or skilled. And this kind of shepherd would seem very strange, very eccentric to the average shepherd in first century Israel. Okay, so let me explain this, that the shepherds in the first century Israel were not raising flocks full of beloved pets. They exploited the sheep. They used the sheep primarily for wool, for mutton, and sacrifices. Let me just ask real quick, does anybody here grown up on a ranch or a farm? Okay. I mean, were the sheep pets? Were the animals pets? Certainly a farmer, a rancher, loves the animals, but not in the way that Jesus is describing. The reason that these shepherds watched over the sheep was not because they loved the sheep, but because the sheep were the source of their income. That they had families that needed food and clothing and shelter. The sheep were the source of those things. When a predator began to stalk the flock, the shepherd was not really concerned for the sheep directly. He was concerned because the predator was taking food off his table, off his children's table, and clothes off their backs. The predator was affecting his income, which was affecting his family's standard of living or their ability to survive. Now, there's exceptions. My grandpa, my cousins now are all farmer ranchers, and they love their animals. I know that they've spent the night with a mother calf or mother cow calving or horses and all that. They love their animals, but different, okay? When a shepherd was good or competent, his sheep were healthy so that they produced plenty of wool or so that they gained plenty of weight when it came time to sell them to the butcher. Shepherds have always defended their flocks from pet predators, but they don't do it because they love the sheep. They kill or they drive off predators because they want to provide for their families. A shepherd might get killed by a predator, but it's an accident. And he does not go down without a fight. And he most certainly does not willingly lay down his life for the sheep. We just heard Jesus describe himself as the good shepherd. That is, the noble, heroic shepherd. He said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus described himself as the shepherd who loves his sheep by willingly surrendering his life for them. And this sets apart the good shepherd from all other shepherds. Now, we can place all of the religions that are outside this door, we can put them in one of two categories. Of all the false religions, all of them teach some version of self-salvation. That is, that you must do something in order to provide all or part of your salvation. There are a wide variety of activities in these religions. There are meditations. There are quests. There is self punishment. There's fasting, right thinking, right talking, self-improvement, and moral character. It goes on and on. But they all boil down to you saving yourself. Now, the true religion, Christianity, is the only religion where God takes on human flesh and declares that he will surrender his life in order to save his creation. The only one. And further, the regular, plain, vanilla, economy class shepherd, who is merely a competent shepherd, cares for his sheep because of what he can get from them, that is, food and clothing. But the good shepherd, Jesus, does not need anything from his sheep. He defends the sheep with his life simply because he loves them. It is good that the good shepherd Jesus loves his sheep and surrendered his life for them. For we, you and I, the church, are the sheep that he speaks of in his figure of speech. And yes, we have some very powerful enemies. We just heard Jesus speak of a wolf. Now, does it matter how much time that a sheep spends in cross fitness or at a martial arts dojo? Can a sheep become something like the Karate Kid and do a little wax on, wax off, paint the fence to defend himself? No. That sheep is not going to be able to take on the wolf. And if the sheep has to defend himself or depend on himself, the wolf will have an easy meal. Now, the wolves that come after us, those wolves are called sin, death, and the devil. And sin, death, and the devil, they're allies. Death is the result of our sin, for we hear Paul's letter to the church in Rome, chapter 6, verse 23. Paul wrote, "For the wages of sin is death." That is one of the many sad facts of death. That is to say that it is our sin that opened the door to let death into our world. Every time we make ourselves more important than God, anytime our feelings are more important than God's word, anytime we exploit our neighbor instead of loving him, anytime we refuse to forgive, anytime that we listen to gossip, anytime we murder with thoughts of hate, anytime we want our way instead of God's way, anytime we rationalize our sin, these are all ways that we open the door to this world and allow death and the devil to rule. It is as the Apostle Paul again told the church in Rome, "Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men, because all have sinned." It's Romans 5:12. Death is one thing that we have in common with everyone. Everyone dies. Our good shepherd, Jesus, said, "He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and he cares nothing for the sheep." John 10, verse 12 to 13. With these words, he illustrates the value of false religions. As far as the false religions are concerned, when death comes, you're on your own. If the religion has an afterlife, then it teaches that you are judged by your own merit and worthiness, who you are, what you have done. So if you have failed in this life, well, then often it's a case of too bad, so sad. Or for the Hindus, they might say better luck next time. Now, some false religions are so deceptive that they try to teach us that the wolf is our friend. Our current culture wants us to believe that the wolf of death is our friend and presents death like this in options: elective abortion, euthanasia, and, as we see in our neighbors up north, assisted suicide as valid solutions to the problems in life. Now, Kalos Kagathos, Shepherd Jesus, on the other hand, he fought with sin, death, and the devil. And he did it in a most unusual way. First of all, the heroic, good Shepherd Jesus became one of the sheep. Jesus became one of us, one of the sheep. That is what Christmas is all about. The Son of God took on human flesh. The Kalos Kagathos Shepherd, Jesus, in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes. Who ever heard of a shepherd becoming one of the sheep in order to save the sheep? And the truth is that the Kalos Kagathos Shepherd, Jesus, became one of us in order to battle sin, to battle death, and to battle the devil. And when the time came for the excellent shepherd Jesus to lay down his life, the shepherd Jesus, when it came time for him to battle death, he gave death the home advantage. That is that he suffered and he died on a cross. And as he hung on the cross, our most excellent shepherd Jesus endured the eternal punishment that our sins deserved. And instead of leaving us to face the wolf of death by ourselves, he faced death for us. He faced the death of this world and the eternal death of hell. The good shepherd, Jesus, faced all of this so that we can be sheep in his eternal flock. The Good Shepherd Jesus has a special message for us in the gospel that we just heard. He said, I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, and there will be one shepherd. Now, since Jesus told these words to the Jews who were listening to him at the time, these words inform them that Jesus has sheep that are not part of the Jewish flock. That means that we, Gentiles, you and me, are also sheep in his flock. The entire flock of excellent, noble, and heroic shepherd is the Holy Christian Church, that has both Jews and Gentiles in it. And this means that the excellent, the noble, the heroic shepherd, Jesus, laid down his life for all people in all times and in all places. This means that Jesus is the excellent, noble, and heroic shepherd for everyone. That he laid down his life for you. The excellent, the noble, the heroic shepherd Jesus proclaimed that he will lay down his life for the sheep. And in the gospel today, he said this many times. As we work through the gospel, we hear him say even more. He said, I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. And it's with these words that Jesus promised that not only to lay down his life for the sheep, but he also promised to take it up again. It means that we know that he defeated our sin with his death because death could not hold him. He rose from the dead. He said, I lay down my life that I may take it up again. And he kept his promise. Your good shepherd Jesus rose from the dead, and the disciples all saw the holes in his hands and in his feet. The resurrection of your good shepherd Jesus is the promise for your last days on this earth. The day will come. It's coming. The day will come when the wolf of death will eat you and will eat me, but we will not stay dead. Instead, our good shepherd Jesus will come on the last day and bring us all back to life. On that day, the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be burnt up and dissolved. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. Peter further says, then there will be new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. All of us who believe will come together as one flock. We will share in the joy of eternal bliss. We will share and all of the blessings that the good shepherd Jesus earned for us when he laid down his life for us. And then we will live forever with him, where there will be one flock, where there will be one shepherd. In the name of Jesus, amen.